It's going to be a different day. It's a different God. It's a different ministry. And the people who are their only concept of God, their only concept of Christianity is what's being taught in the New Testament right now, which is proper. I'm not saying it's improper. It's right. It's proper. But if that's the only thing they understand, then when people come on the scene and act decidedly unchristian, say, do things they never believed God would do, we're going to be accused of being absolutely unchristian. We already perceive, yeah, you already perceive it 1,000 times worse. See, because you're not going around proclaiming judgment on anybody. You're still trying to save them, aren't you, Rich? We're still praying for people. We're still praying for our family. We're still praying for our friends. We're still ministering and witnessing to people at work. We're still praying and hoping God will turn our government around. Of course, I'm not, but I mean, a lot of Christians praying for those kind of things. I'm just saying. But when this day comes, that all ends. That all changes for this company. It's just the opposite. No more praying for people. No more trying to help people. No more trying to bring people salvation. No more trying to restore the church. It all changes. It all ends. It all stops. There's another kind of ministry that goes forth. And that ministry is destructive. It's judgment. Okay? And the Christians will not understand what's going on any more than the world. Most of them. Okay? They'll look at us, those of us who make it. I'm including myself because I'm pressing towards that, but I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm hoping I will. But they're going to look at these people and they're going to say, hey, they're of Satan. God would never tell them to do such things. God would never tell them to say such awful things. God is not destructive. God does not destroy. Everything that these people are doing are going to be opposite of what Christians have heard their whole life and the cultural God, which is a God of love, loves everybody no matter what. God's going to judge this world. He's going to judge the whore. He's going to judge the beast. He's going to judge this world. He's going to judge anybody that is part of that, is partaking of that. That's why he tells us to come out of that, so you don't partake of her sins, so you don't receive her plagues. Okay? And this is a horrible, I should say a horrible, it's not a horrible because it's God's will, but it is a horrible ministry to be partaking of, to be part of. It's not fun, it's not giddy, it's not positive, it's not nice. And it's not just the people over in China or the people in Russia that are going to be judged by this ministry. They're going to be people we love, people we know, those who are close to us are going to be judged. You know, so there's got to be an emotional preparation. There's got to be emotional preparation that we start getting the steel in us, the iron in us, that's willing to cut off our family. I'm not saying we should cut them off, just go and cut off our family now and stop praying for people. I'm just saying there's a work that needs to start to be being done. And last week when I mentioned that, a few people chimed in and spoke up and said they shared how God was already starting that work in them. One brother said he felt that God was separating from a sister. Another lady said that she was, a sister said that she was separated from a nephew because the mother and nephew, niece, I mean, was anti-God. So I'm saying that these things will start. God will start preparing us emotionally for when the day comes and we got to do what, in the spiritual realm, what the literal Israelites did, Levi did, in the Old Testament. I read this last week, but I want to read you a New International Version. Let me get here because it's very interesting. New International Version puts a little spin on it, but I think it's a correct spin. I'm sorry, I don't have the New International Version on this Bible program. Let me read it to you. It says 32, chapter 32, verse 27 through 29. This is when Moses came down from the mountain, received the tablets, saw that they had made the golden calf. They were naked. They were having an orgy in front of the calf and everything else. And he throws the tablets down, and he calls the Levites to his side. This is what he says to him. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword on his side, go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. So the New International Version throws that thought in there, translates that King James Version, that last verse, to say that it's because the Levites did that that they were chosen. You know, the Lord chose them. The Lord set apart the tribe of Levi that day because they were willing to turn on their family. And the way to put God first and slay whoever God says, you know. And that's the kind of thing this two and its company is going to have to be moving in when they go forth, when they see the power, okay. Well, they're going to have to call down the plagues and the judgment of God on whoever he says. And I'm sure we all have unsaved loved ones. We all have people who are religious that aren't Christians, loved ones, and that judgment is going to fall on them. So we got to be willing to be vessels that bring that judgment on them. And this is not for everybody. You know, lots of Christians will never be able to handle this. Okay, a third level of preparation. Hang on a second. Sissy says, Dan, I've been praying that the Lord would vindicate his name. I'm sick of the blasphemy of our Lord's name and the mockery of the Lord. I don't know if we're part of this company, but I know it's got to come. Amen. Well, if you feel something stirring you, Sissy, go for it. Tell the Lord you want to be part of that. I'm playing recruiter today. I'm a recruiter for the Holy Spirit when it comes to this company. It's not just some company far off in the future that nobody can understand, that nobody's going to do. God's made it real what's going to happen. There's going to be a company of people that move with him in judgment. You know, Pharaoh says, I don't seek thrones or crowns. I just want to be where the Lord is forever. I'm truly working on my own salvation. That's fine. And this is not a thing where you're trying to take something, trying to rise up and be somebody and take something and get God's best. I talk about getting God's best, but I talk about it in the sense that God wants us to have that. You know, he gave his all for us. He wants us to be able to go for the gusto and have his best. Not that we're trying to be something, trying to rise up above other Christians. That's not what I'm talking about. Maybe I should explain that when I say go for God's best. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of thing where you're trying to get ahead of your brethren. You know, you're trying to rise up and get a place where they're not, like Peter and them were saying, can I be at your right hand, Lord? Can I be at your right hand? You know, that's not the kind of thing I'm saying. I'm saying God has the best for somebody. And if you feel called to that, then go for it. He wants you to go for it. And that's not wrong, and it's not evil to do that, okay? The third level of preparation, I want to just deal with touching it, is a willingness to die. And I'm talking about dying physically, being martyred, okay? Revelation 11:7, to put this up, because it says very clearly, this isn't anything spiritual, this is talking about literally, this is going to happen to these people. Revelation 11:7 says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, now during this testimony, nobody can touch them. Anybody tries to hurt them, fire comes out of their mouth, or whatever that means, that they're judged. People are instantly judged. There's no mercy. There's no time to repent. You come against this ministry, you're dead meat. That's not because this ministry is harsh. It's not because this ministry wants revenge. It's not because we haven't had a work done this. It's because it's God's will. It's God's movement through the ministry. It's only God. And you come against God in that hour, you're dead meat. Okay? But once that testimony is over, all that protection is lifted. And this is what it says. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. That's literal. That's physical. That's not something spiritual. Okay? That's physical. The people who are part of this company will die a martyr's death. So before we're given this power, we have to come to the place where we're considered our life over. We have to come to the place where our life is over. No more waiting for children to be born. No more waiting for grandchildren to be born. No more deciding which college the kids are going to go to. No more looking for to buy a house or start a new career. No more putting money away for retirement or that big vacation or old age. No more plans, but God's plan. And God's plan for these people is physical death at the hands of an enraged church and world after walking in a negative, destructive ministry for 3.5 years. That's God's will, and that's God's plan for those people. So if you can stomach it, that's going to be the end. And that's God's will. There's going to be a great reward for that. So I believe right now the angel is measuring those of us who are walking or beginning to walk in a golden hour experience. You know, he's looking to see who's willing. And we're not talking about, he's not going to measure people who, like that guy who's saved by fire, the guy's the only guy the spirit saved because he's walking in fornication, or people who are not really in God. We're talking about people who are already at the altar incense. We're talking about people who are already walking a deep walk, already walking the overcoming, already walking death itself. They're already walking in the deep things of God. Among these people, not among the lightweights, from among these deeper people, there's going to be a group of people that will let God do this work and come forth in this ministry. Okay, and right now God's measuring to see who will allow him to start preparing us for this ministry. So if you can hear the call, it's going to mean the absolute end of your life. It'll mean the absolute end of all our fleshy dreams and our hopes and our plans, whether good or evil, whether proper or not. We're going to have to make a willing and a conscious decision to let our life end in truth, not just in talk. I'm recruiting for the Holy Spirit tonight, I believe. It's not just a message. It's a transaction. I pray that there's some in this room tonight who will answer that call. And for those who don't or can't answer it willingly, that's fine. Don't be ashamed. You know, God knows our frame. It's not for everybody. This kind of thing ain't for everybody. It isn't. And it doesn't mean God looked down our nose at us or we're going to be any less to him. He still loves us. It's an issue of a willing sacrifice to go for something that's dear to God's heart, that must be done, some people must enter into that and do it. It's not going to be pleasant to do. It's not going to be pleasant to endure the suffering, but I believe there's going to be a special glory for those who do that and are allow God to make them ready for that and bring them forth in that. Okay? So, even if we can't receive that call or can't get a witness to that or can't answer it, we have to know something. I want to make it clear. This life is coming to an end. The end of the age is upon us. Whether it's 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, we're very close to the age. So let's make sure that in the coming days our life is, even if we can't answer this call, even if this is too rich for our blood, or we don't really believe, or you don't really believe, you know, maybe you don't even get to witness to what I'm saying. Maybe you don't believe that's the scripture's even talking about. But still, days that our life is in Christ. not in our family, not in our job, not in our home, not in our retirement funds, not in our hobbies and pleasures, you know, that's in Christ, lest we be found naked and empty in the day of the Lord. Okay? Somebody was asking some questions here. Romans 6:11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God, Christ Jesus our Lord. We must reckon this truth and not doubt where we stand. Correct. Reckon, you must reckon it in order to walk in it. There's a false doctrine now saying if you reckon it, it's true. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying if you believe it, it's true. You reckon it, that's where your position. Whenever you look at it, whenever you come against a choice, a decision, where you're going to live or die, you reckon yourself dead. And that enables you to actually be dead to that thing. That enables you to walk in the death that you need to walk in. Kirby says, do you think we're at the beginning of the tribulation or has it already started? Well, I don't know. I think we're real close. I think the Great Tribulation started for many, many people around the world. If it hasn't started in truth, it certainly started for a lot of people. I really don't know, though, Purim. I'm not trying to make a joke. I just don't know. I think we're very close if we're not, though. I mean, certainly we're in a time of sorrows. We have to be in a time of sorrows, don't you think? If not in tribulation. Our brothers and sisters gave their lives every day for Jesus, died terrible deaths. So why should we think it won't happen to us? Okay, Father, we pray for your grace. Amen. Good. Thanks, Yellow. Our life is not our own. It was bought at the price. Amen. Amen. Good. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yellow 54 says, what's the scripture? They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, with their testimony, and loving not the life unto death. Amen. That's right. Rich says, state seems to have at least been set for the trip, but of course we do not know. Right. I think we're in a time of sorrows. At the end of the time of sorrows, we're ready to end the tribulation. That's just my opinion. I mean, I think we're close to the end. I really do. I really think we're close to the end. And I've never been one to say the five-year plan, or the four-year plan, or anything like that. I've always stayed away from anything like that. But I just feel my spirit. I feel my spirit. We're getting very close. And there's a group of people who are going to go forth in these last days. And that's getting close. So that's why I'm recruiting. it's a very serious thing. I don't mean to laugh. But, you know, I just want to get all that out. Because I didn't get all out last week. Okay, what else you got? Anybody else have anything about that? You want to share anything about that? Anybody, does anybody feel like they've been called to that company? Does anybody in the room feel like they've been called to this company? They feel like it's a group and they've been called there? Called to that group? Has anybody ever felt that? Maranatha? You're talking about, yes, you feel called to that company? Good, great. Fishhead is asking, born of the water in John 3:5, is that the word or the natural birth? That's a good question. I'm really not sure. Sorry, I don't have a real clear answer for that. I've heard both the arguments, but I can't say I get a witness to either one. I'm real good. Whether one's right, one's wrong. Is that okay? Sorry about that. It's not that I'm trying to avoid it. I just don't know. Go ahead, Kim. You want to say something? Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Yeah, Dan, after last week when you were talking about the two witness company, I started thinking, well, you know, maybe I'm not called to that. You know, I was thinking, well, am I called to it? And I thought, well, what if I'm not called to it? And then the Lord reminded me what you said. You said, whosoever will, whosoever's willing to submit to the Lord in this, in the preparation for this, whoever so you know is willing to partake of this, and is willing to submit to the preparation that the Lord would put them through, can be in the two witness company. It's not something that only certain special people are called to. It's whosoever is willing to submit to the preparation the Lord has provided for that company.
That's right. That's what I believe. I believe that's what the scripture says. So if you feel that, then but it's a deep preparation. It's not a game. I mean, your life has to end, and you got to be willing to go through a lot of suffering to be humbled and humbled and humbled and broken and broken and broken until it's all gone. And most of the people, I'm afraid, most of us really don't understand how deep our sin goes, how deep our self goes, how deep these things really run, and what it really takes to get free of them. I think a lot of us are blind. To a certain degree. I mean, we all see evil in ourselves. We all know some things are wrong with ourselves, but I think a lot of us are not real aware of how deep the thing runs, you know. So, Fishhead says, I feel like Paul in Romans 7. Well, that's good. I think that's good. Paul hated his life. He hated the fact that he wanted to do things, and he didn't do them, and he did things he didn't want to do, right? Paul eventually got to Romans 8, where he would broke through. That's where you got to get there, Fishhead. You got to get to Romans 8. Amen? So, can you give a time frame when this type of judgment ministry will take place? Or because, no, I can't. I really can't. I have no idea when. I just feel it's close. That's why I'm talking about it. In other words, would this judgment ministry take place during God's... Yes, I think it's part of the tribulation. You know, when it says an angel poured out this vial, or poured out this bowl, or blew this trumpet, and it's, this plague came upon the earth, a plague came upon the sea, turned to blood, plague came upon the earth. All of those plagues, I think a lot of them are going to be coming from the two-wheels company. I just do. I think that's why God's preparing people like that. So, a lot of people are saying, hey, prepare, there's hard times coming. Hey, well, God's got something even greater than that. God's got something greater than, hey, just knuckle down and prepare for the hard times are coming. God's got a people who are going to be given the hard times. They're going to be above all that, not just prepared to knuckle down and endure the hard times. They're going to be the ones who are pouring out the hard times. There's a level, there's a place so far above what most people are looking for in God, but you have to pay a price to get there. You don't get there by belief or by confession or just by wanting it. You know, the only way to get there is by submitting to the work. It's a very deep work. And most people don't have that, what it takes. They just don't. They would like to, but they don't. Karen says, the last 3.5 years? Well, I believe it's the last 3.5 years because it says after they're killed, there's 3 days, and then they're raised again. So that sort of, unless the 3 days there is spiritual, it's a spiritual application, I sort of think that it's be doing the last 3.5 years. But, I'm not real clear about this stuff. I'm not trying to set myself up as a teacher of revelation or as having all the answers. I just know what God showed us, and I feel God's asking me to throw it out there to encourage people that they can receive it, they can get a witness to it, they have a desire for it, to go for it. Yael says, yes, we don't see how deep it goes, but the Lord sure shows us and gives us grace to be cleansed. Well, that's right, he does. Fishhead says, to them who have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. Purim says, the Lord has been showing me what needs to go this week, and the laying down of the flesh is no easy thing, but through him all things are possible. Amen. It is really painful. It is. There's a lot of good things out there. A lot of God-ordained things that we're allowed to partake of. They're going to have to go. It's not because they're evil. Not because they're flesh. It's just because they got to go. They can't be part of this thing. The only thing that can come forth in this ministry is God's judgment. God, whatever God's saying, whatever God's doing. There can be no human effort, no human thing left. All that stuff, everything's got to be purged out and gone. It's a very deep, deep, deep work that has to be done. It's not a joke. It's not a game. But it's possible. You got to know what you're going into. You got to have some kind of idea what you're going into before you volunteer. You know? So that's what I was trying to explain. A little bit of that. Fishhead says, Purim, I think it's more hard than painful. It's painful too, brother. It's hard and painful. It's both. I've suffered a lot of pain. Emotional. Severe pain. Mental pain. Mental anguish. As God's working things in me. And I'm dealing with issues. Karen says, idols are anything we have a hard time letting go. That's right. Amen. They are. An idol is... anything you can't let go of is an idol. Hard and painful, says Purim. Amen. And Nell says, dying is never easy. Amen to that, too. Did everybody kind of get what I was saying tonight? I mean, did I make my point? Did I get across what I was trying to say? Risen for it says, John 10:29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. Okay. Is that a question about eternal security? Or is that just a statement that you're making concerning what we're talking about? I don't... kind of lost there. You don't want to open a can of worms at this point? Yeah, it's a little late for that. But if you want to email me, we'll go through it. I go through it, no problem. I don't have a problem with that. Get on the mic here and say something. Who has mics tonight? Go for it. I just gave you what I felt the Lord share with me to open up. Y'all want to share something else? Go for it. Yeah, that's okay, Rich. No problem. Have you heard any of my chat room sessions on Calvinism, on eternal security? Have you listened to any of them yet? Well, there's a couple on my website, one of those, you know, those chat room sessions. I do attack Calvinism pretty roughly, some of them, because I don't believe Calvinism is at all godly, and I believe Calvinism is a murderer, for one thing, and his doctrine was wrong. That's just what I believe. I can tell you why in some other form. If you want to email me or if you want to talk to me on the phone, that's fine. But, yeah, I have some things on my site about Calvin we went through in this room a couple times. Hey, let's see. You want to try another song quick? Before more people leave, or Overcoming the Dragon, Part 4 is really good. Thank you. I'm working on Part 5 now, but It's going to be a few days. I'm getting behind. I'm sorry, I'm getting behind. My wife and I are going to go on a little vacation, sort of a ministry vacation, in a couple of weeks, heading down south. So I'm trying to get everything ready before we go there. Well, we're just swinging down. We're just taking a week off and swinging down south towards Texas. I don't know exactly where we're going. We're going to take a little vacation. Just take a little, take about a week off and just drive. Stop at a few places. Maybe stop at a couple of people's on my mailing list and see them. Come to Georgia. Well, maybe. If anybody's interested in seeing me and my wife, stopping by if it's not too far out of the way. Karen, you're on North Richland Hills, Texas. Oh, you're in Texas. Anybody else here in Texas? By Carrollton. Well, yeah, I'll be over by Carrollton. Fish Hedge in Ohio. Well, if anybody really feels the Lord, they'd like to see us or have a little fellowship, you know, email me your address and let me know where you're living, and I'll, you know, pray about it. Of course, I can't stop to see everybody, but if somebody really feels the Lord, I'll be willing to pray about it and stop by, have a couple hours fellowship with you. Just email me, let me know where you are. No, Canada's the wrong direction. Sorry, buddy. Hey, let me do one more song for you here before we get too far and people start leaving. This is called Living in Union. I don't think anybody knows this one. Living in union, moving by the Spirit, bringing forth a man-child from the heart of God. Redeeming all that is of Him, anything less is only sin. Living in union by the Spirit of God. It's a real simple song, real simple. Living in union, moving by the Spirit, bringing forth of God. Redeeming all that is of Him, anything less is only sin. Living in union by the Spirit of God. Living in union, moving by the Spirit, bringing forth a man-child from the heart of God. Redeeming all that is of Him, anything less is only sin. Living in union by the Spirit of God. Living in by the Spirit, bringing forth a man-child from the heart of God. Redeeming all that is of Him, anything less is only sin. Living in union by the Spirit of God. Living in union, moving by the Spirit, bringing forth a man-child from the heart of God. Redeeming all that is of Him, anything less is only sin. Living in union by the Spirit of God. Living in union, moving by the Spirit, bringing forth a man-child from the heart of God. Redeeming all that is of Him, anything less is only sin. Living in union by the Spirit of God. Anyway, there are a bunch of short ditties we sing, but they're nice songs in the center of what God's doing today, in the flow, what the Lord's doing today. You know, I sang a song the other week. It says, "Open my eyes to behold the thing you're doing in the earth." You know, there's lots of voices. Paul said there's many voices and none of them without significance. There's many voices today, many good preachers, many good, solid servants of God still out there preaching the word, having ministries. But that doesn't mean they're in what God's doing today. You know, having correct doctrine and knowing the Bible doesn't necessarily put you in the center of what God's doing. You know, God's doing certain things right now. And you got to be open to what He's doing for Him to talk to us and show us what He's doing. So that's what I want to be. I want to be in what God's doing. I want to have my eyes open to see what He's doing in the earth and be part of that. Amen. My hands are clapping, my toes are tapping, my head's bobbing. Thanks, Fishhead. Rich, as I've been blessed here today, thank you, Lord, and thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome, Rich. Thanks for coming. Glad you came. And Irma says, love that, Dan. Thanks. Hey, Fishhead says, like those guys that Steve played on CD. Does anybody know their name? He has them on his website there, Fishhead. I think he has their name and a link to their site or link to their songs or something. If you go to Steve's website. I think he has some information about him there. Rich says, "Who wrote the songs you sing?" Yeah, various people. Different little groups you run into here and there over the years. We're out of the system, walking towards Tabernacles, walking the High Calling, what we call the High Calling, going past Pentecost. As we move around, we collect them. Rich says, "I love the test." What's the test? What's that? Was that the song, Through the Tests? But yeah, Through the Tests, Through the Trials. Yeah, that's a nice song. Good brother wrote that about 20 years ago, I guess, 30 years ago. Well, anybody else have anything? Did you? Great. Well, if you ever get together, you said you play guitar, right, Rich? If we ever get together, we can try and jam a little bit. In the spirit, that is. I don't play anything funky or rock and roll anymore. Only in the spirit. Only simple tunes for the Lord. Amen. If anybody has anything to share, you go right ahead and take the mic. Great. Yellow wants to say something. Go ahead, Yellow.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Thanks. I was just looking up here. Somebody had asked about the John 3:5, and I got a little commentary here. I just thought I would read it, see what y'all think. It says, Jesus referred not to literal water here, but to the need for cleansing. When water is used figuratively in the New Testament, it habitually refers to renewal or spiritual cleansing, especially when used in conjunction with the Spirit. And then there's a whole lot of scriptures here. And then he says, thus Jesus made reference to the spiritual washing or purification of the soul accomplished by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God at the moment of salvation. Ephesians 5:26. Hold on. I was trying to look up these two scriptures and I lost my place. I got it now. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. And then the other one was Titus 3:5, I believe. And Titus 3:5 was, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I couldn't do all this and do a study or something over here. I'd get all lost just looking up a couple scriptures.
You could do it. It just takes a little practice. I'm sure you could do it when you've practiced enough. Well, good. Thanks for sharing that. It is tricky, isn't it? Well, anybody else have anything to share? What's the Lord doing in your lives today? When am I coming to Texas? Let me see. It's the... We're going to be going to 14/19, so we'll be down there about the 15th or 16th, I think. You know, we should do some night. Some night we should have a mic check. We just get in this room and just spend an hour or two, get everybody get their mics going. How about that? We should do that some night. Perman and Irma said that's a good idea. What, for the mic check? I don't know when should we do it. What I could do is next Saturday, I can come on at 6 instead of or 6:30 instead of 7:30. And if you guys want to come in the room early, you can come in at 6:30 and we'll just talk about mics and try and get mics set up. Is that okay with everybody? Should we try to do that? If I open the room at 6:30 instead of 7:30, will you guys come and do the mic thing? Okay. Well, tell all your friends. So we'll do that. Next Saturday, I'll open the room at 6:30 instead of 7:30. And from 6:30 to 7:30, we'll just play with the mics and see if we get everybody's mics working. Make a note of that so I don't forget.
Hello, can you hear me now? I didn't know I had the mic. I'm sorry if there was a time of silence there. Well, this is my first time here, and I just wanted to say hello to everyone, and thank you, Dan, for inviting me, and I've been very, very blessed. And to the sister, I don't know if she's still here, that said she seemed a little, at least it came across to me that she might be a little doubtful about a calling that she felt that she might have. I know that Oswald Chambers has some great devotionals. I'm sure that many of you may have read him, but I just wanted to encourage her maybe to pick up his devotional and maybe do some reading on what he has to say about being called, and it's very interesting. But aside from that, I'll keep it short, and I just wanted to say hello and let you all hear my voice and my Texas accent. You can probably all tell I'm from New York. So anyway, how do I give the mic? Do you just take it back, or what am I supposed to do here? Oh, the transmitting button?
There you go. I'm glad you talked, Rich. It's nice to meet you. And I'm glad you came to the room. If anybody has anything at all to share, type it in. Speak up. Maybe if we get the mics working next week, we'll be able to have some more people talking. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rich. Got a quick question? Go ahead. Did you want the mic or you want to type it in?
Hello? Can you hear me? Okay. Dan, I was just wondering what your opinion was of Christian counseling ministries. Do you have a general opinion of them? Or because I know that I've spoken to some that don't like the whole idea of a Christian counseling ministry. So I just was wondering if you could share any of your thoughts on that.
Sure, I'll share my thoughts. I don't know how good they are. I'm not real familiar with a lot of them. A few I have seen I don't think too much of because they're mixing psychology with Christian counseling. So if you're talking about something that's not doing that, a ministry that's not doing that, sticking strictly to the Bible, trying to be led by the Spirit to help people, I think that's great. I think that's part of the Christian walk to help your brothers and sisters. As long as the counseling is strictly from the Bible and Spirit-led, no psychology mixed in, okay? No Christian psychology, no secular psychology. None of this self-help, none of that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm talking about? There's counsel from the Scripture, and there's people who are able to counsel other people. But as long as they're sticking to the Bible and being led by the Holy Spirit, not mixing it with a bunch of worldly garbage, okay? Yeah, if it's Christ-centered, that's great. I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, Perm said there's a lot of wisdom in men, not the Lord. So do you think there's any Christian counseling out there, Perm, that is strictly Bible-based and acceptable? Or do you think it's all mixed? Oh, she says, I've been to some and never been impressed. Okay, that's fine. No problem. Grace wants to say something. Go ahead, Grace. You have the mic. Go ahead.
Okay, Dan, that was a good message. I really got a lot out of it.
Thanks, Grace. I don't know if I got it all. You said it was a good message. You really got a lot out of it. As long as you said anything else, I missed it. But thank you. And I'm glad you used your mic. Mighty warrior dressed for battle. And sorry, back to Purim says she sees some but never been impressed. That's great. I don't know too many of them either myself, and the ones I've seen aren't really biblically based. So if Rich has seen some that are, that's good. I don't like to throw blanket statements out there and make generalizations, Rich says he's been to one I like. Well, that's as long as you think that's Bible-based and it's led by the Holy Spirit, it's good. Taught the cross. Well, it can't be all bad, right? And that's what I'm saying. If there's no secularism, no psychology, Christian or otherwise in it, then I don't see anything wrong with Christian counseling. Well, there you go. If you feel like they've helped you, then I'm not going to speak any against it. Unless you told me something I didn't get a witness to, then I had to tell you the truth. But well, anybody else have anything before we shut her down? Okay, so next week we got this. We're going to start. I'm going to open the room at 6:30. And you got anybody wants to test their mic or get the mic set up so they can talk, we'll go through that. And I appreciate you all coming. I guess we'll shut her down, and we'll see you next week, 6:30, for the mic check. God willing, and the river don't rise. See you later.